And welcome to the latest edition of the Sea Control Podcast, your moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center for International Maritime Security. If you were listening to last week's podcast, you heard at the end we talked about the Athena East Innovation Competition that we're doing down here in Norfolk. Well, maybe some of you haven't heard of it before, or you've heard of the Athena Project and you don't know what its background is, or maybe you've even been in one and you want to know more about where it came from and where it's going here in the future. So, for that reason, we have here today Dave Nobles. He is the founder of the Athena Project while he was on the USS Benfold out in sunny San Diego. And he's going to talk to us about where the Athena Project came from, some of the innovations that came out of that process, and where he sees the project going. In a little bit, we'll both sort of riff on what we're going to be doing here in Norfolk here in a few weeks. So sit back, relax, and we'll be back with Dave Nobles after this short word from my wife.
SimSec brings you the best content on maritime security, technology, history, and international affairs. And, like the United States, SimSec is, and always will be, free. Sign up to become a member today by visiting www.cimsec.org/about/membership, which gets you daily emails of our articles and a WordPress account that sends your own writings directly to our editorial staff. However, admin, special projects, software, events, and prizes do cost money. There's a new option to make a voluntary monthly donation at the bottom of every SimSec article. No matter how you choose to support us, those who volunteer for leadership, our amazing content producers, our readers, our listeners, our conference planners and attendees, and our financial benefactors, we are incredibly grateful. Remember, Sea Control is more than just a podcast, and SimSec is more than just a website. We are a vibrant community built on a passion for discovery and discussion. Sign up, write, donate, comment, or even leave 5 stars on our iTunes page. Join us today.
And we're back. As I said, we are here with Dave Nobles. Thanks for joining us today, Dave.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, as you have obviously listened to the podcast before as a SimSec fan and a dear friend of mine, no doubt, boosting my subscriber number, you know that at the beginning of the podcast we like to give everyone a chance to describe who they are, where they're from, sort of some major beats that they think is important for the audience to understand the kind of flavor of person that they're going to be hearing from today. So let me open to the floor for you for a minute or two, and you can tell the audience who is Dave Nobles, where is he from, and what is he about?
As you said, I'm Dave Nobles. I was a surface warfare officer in our Navy for 11 years, served all over the place. I was on an amphib first out in Little Creek. I was in on the USS O'Kane out in Hawaii for a while, taught at Penn State for shore duty, got to Benfold as the web CSO, and that's kind of where we started the whole Athena project. I'm out now. I just got off of active duty. I'm now a Navy reservist for the Office of Naval Research, and I work at Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Labs now, doing design thinking on the design thinking core there, which is basically internal projects, kind of helping solve challenges that folks might encounter in some of their, you know, ambiguous problems, and then working on external projects for the Navy still, and trying to make things better through the tactical advancements for the next generation project, TANG, as some people know, it started in the sub community, and now I'm actually in Japan right now doing research for Integrated Air and Missile Defense Mission Planning TANG, which will be coming around in March 2016. So really excited to get that going.
Perfect. Well, the reason you and I are talking this week is we wanted to do a podcast here early enough to advertise Athena East. So to just give the audience a quick understanding of what that's going to be here in Norfolk, and I say here, of course, because that's where I am. We're going to go out in town. You know, we're going to sort of break free from the base or from our office place, and we're just going to find a cool place out in town called Work Release, right in the Norfolk Arts District, and we're going to bring together people for an innovation competition. So 5 or 6 ideas from military civilians or Navy folks from the waterfront, just our maritime community, our U.S. Navy community here in Hampton Roads. And they're going to present, and they're going to present to an audience, which will vote and decide on folks getting cool prizes, like a membership to one of the local makerspaces or Improv 101 classes. And we'll also have a board, because as Dave, you will describe, the original Athena had a commanding officer who had bought into it, and so he could implement a lot of these ideas. So because this new competition is the Surface Navy Association, SIMSEC, and the United States Naval Institute, we didn't exactly have any real authority in the Navy. We may have some intellectual heft, but we can't tell anyone what to do. So we have this board that hopefully some of these ideas will pique the interest of these naval leaders. We have the commander of Desron 22, ship CO. We have Captain Sean Heritage, who's a really dynamic character from the information dominance community. ODU is represented, as is our maintenance community, and even a science and technology advisor. So we've got a lot of cool people. But, you know, we're standing, of course, on the shoulders of giants, and here's where I segue into handing the mic back to you, as it were, and sort of describe. So this is a really cool project, but for those familiar with the Navy, it's not really something that we often do. You know, folks don't go out to breweries and have a cool time and throw ideas out. I mean, it's something we should do. So, Dave, kind of tell us, where did the Athena project come from? Why did it was there something, you know, necessity is the mother of invention? Was there a reason that you guys needed it on the Benfold? Kind of tell us where did it come from?
Well, and first things, the what I really like about what the team is doing out east, and Matt, you leading that effort, is that we're continuing to iterate, and none of our events in the past have looked like what Athena East 2 is going to look like. And I think that's great, because I think it stays within the spirit of where we started and kind of the desire to iterate our process and make it different, try to make it better each time that we do it. And I think that you guys are doing that out there. Where it started, I guess. Okay. So when I was studying at Penn State and teaching naval science out there, I was getting my MBA, and I was hearing about all this really cool innovation stuff that was happening at all these, you know, companies that are out in Silicon Valley and beyond, where they were kind of unleashing the intellectual curiosity and the horsepower behind their really, really smart people and having fun with it and letting people just, giving people time to develop neat ideas that would make the company better or make themselves better and just professionally develop them. So while I was reading all this cool stuff, I was like, well, wow, at the time, and this was, I guess, 2009 or so, we didn't really have a whole lot of stuff like that going on in the Navy. And it was a frustration point for me while I was on my first couple tours. And I kind of told myself then, well, I got to try to do something about this. I didn't know what that was going to be yet, or anything. And until I got to Benfold and kind of started looking for opportunities. And I guess the first opportunity arose when we had a captain that came on board, and he expressed the desire to launch not only missiles but ideas, and give a nice TED Talky kind of presentation to the wardroom when he first took command, and kind of saw that as an opportunity to, you know, maybe this guy will allow us to, you know, book Drive, which is all about, you know, unleashing motivating your people, kind of keeping them engaged. So one of the tenets of his talk was that to do that, you'd have to kind of meet these three wickets, and that was to give people autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And in the talk, he cited this company called Atlassian. They were hired for and make these big ideas as long as it, you know, had some kind of impact on Atlassian and making that company better, whether that was finding fixes to bugs and programs or developing new programs.
Dave, could you say that you broke off. So real quick, you said you were introduced to a company called Atlassian.
Yeah. Atlassian was an Aussie IT firm. So Dan Pink talks about it in his TED Talk. And their whole deal was this hackathon called a Ship It Day, where they gave their employees the day off of work to come up with these crazy ideas that would benefit the bottom line of the company and make new programs, new products, and generally had a good time doing it. So they had a hackathon at the end of it, you know, punch and pie. Everybody had a good time, and they were finding their employees were engaged and they were finding that they were getting really great ideas that were benefiting the company. So we riffed that into a concept called Wiki Wardroom, which is the first, I guess, Athena One in San Diego. I went into the captain's cabin.
Yeah, it's good. It's like, good you guys renamed that.
Yeah. Terrible name, right? I don't even know what we're thinking, but the went to the captain's cabin. And I said, "Sir, I want to give the wardroom the day off of work." And he said, "Weps, get out." And I said, wait, sir, let me explain. The price they pay for the day off is basically a 5-minute pitch on an idea they would have to make Ben Fold better, or the Navy better, or the engagement with the San Diego waterfront better. And so he was kind of hesitant, but he was feeling it, and he said yes, and that was huge. We put together a little brief to show the wardroom, showed the TED talk, and all that. And away we went. And as we kind of had discussions amongst us, we found that we were coming up with some kind of cool ideas. Got a lot of them born out of frustration or things that we would have liked to have seen on the ship and in the fleet. So we scheduled it for a pizza joint in downtown San Diego, great place called Basic Pizza. So quick plug there for helping us host our first event. Got the wardroom together. We were in civilian clothes. We were having some pizza, having some drinks. And pitching these great ideas. And we started our iteration there. So the first idea that came up was a kind of a controversial idea by a couple of JOs that was talking about extending the surface warfare officer obligation to 10 years and cutting all these jobs and all this stuff. So it's pretty controversial to the rest of the wardroom. And they had a lot of questions. So we were like, I guess we have to put a 5-minute cap on question and answer. That kind of stayed with us, and we kept going from there. But we didn't have some of the key elements of our project that are, you know, part of our fabric now, like that peer voting, like declaring a winner. So we got to the end of the event, and we sort of patted each other on the backs, and we're like, well, that was fun. Captain was able to put some of the ideas into play on the ship, like you mentioned, and we had a good time, but we felt like we were onto something. We started looking forward to maybe doing a second event and maybe inviting some other people. And right before that event happened, we had a tour on the ship from a group called Project Blue Shark. And that was a team from Space War, System Center Pacific, out in San Diego, Third Fleet, and the USC, University of Southern California Institute of Creative Technologies. And they were looking for ways to kind of take movie technologies and turn them into reality. So they heard about what we did with Wiki Wardroom, and they were like, "Oh, you're doing another one? Can we come?" And we had called it Athena by this point, named after the Greek goddess of wisdom, inspiration, and the arts, and a shrewd companion to heroes on epic endeavors. And I guess if you try to make anything happen in a largely bureaucratic, stodgy organization, that could be quite an epic endeavor. So we were hoping with our network we developed, we could help people get their ideas made.
So speaking of those ideas, and I think you really give a great example for any of our listeners. If you're on a ship, or if you're at a university,
on a rooftop. What's that?
Oh, sorry. You cut out at the internet cut out at the perfect moment where it seemed like you had paused. But anyways, I wanted to ask you about some of the ideas, but I wanted to kind of note for the audience that this is a great example. So if you're on a ship, or you're out in a class, out in a university or classroom, or you're in a part of a business, you know, it's a very simple model that you're proposing, and I think, you know, it's a good one. You get into a positive, you know, fun environment with people you work with, and hopefully, you know, wherever you work and whatever you do is something that you're passionate or that you're good at. If you're neither one of those, let me extend my apologies to you. But is that if you take those things and you combine them out in kind of a social environment, and you add a so what of being able to implement these kinds of things, you know, it can be really healthy for an organization, sort of culturally as well as kind of tactically and operationally with these new ideas. But really, so we're talking about where this has come from, and I think you've given a really good flavor as to the ownership that the captain took, or at least the championing that he did with the event, and how your crew engaged. I think people would be interested to hear, like, what are some of the ideas? What are some of the more interesting things that you heard? And maybe not ones that are so much unique, but it's just practical and kind of why didn't we think of that before kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, and we've had quite a few of those. And actually, the second event was kind of what made us realize that, you know, some of those good ideas could actually get legs beyond the ship. So the USC guys came, and the winner of the event, because we had had the peer voting on idea quality, actionability, and presentation, not doing PowerPoint or anything like that. And we had a winner, and the winner was a JG, now a JG, he was an ensign at the time, with a concept called EARS, which is an environmental acoustic recognition system that was designed. The idea was based off the Army's boomerang technology, which is, you know, to find sniper fire where it came from in a convoy, basically. He wanted to adapt that for shipboard use to find sound signals of contacts in low visibility and be able to pinpoint where those contacts were, you know, when we can't see them, way better than the low visibility team, a bunch of you know, supply guys that are out there not having a lot of experience, probably tired as well, trying to find those contacts. So the USC guys took that concept and prototyped it like a couple weeks later after the event, using some Microsoft Kinect and some, you know, recorded sound signals of ships, and proved that the concept could work. And then, you know, Rob didn't give up on that. We're actually going to post his story on the blog, on our blog, athenanavy.wordpress.com here in the coming week or so. But he didn't give up, just after the prototype. It took a while, but we got some attention from, some Army researchers that were looking to try to develop a technology for shipboard use and combining those concepts. And now he's got a team of scientists working with him and trying to figure out a way to get that concept put on a ship. So that's pretty cool. Probably one of the most inspiring things that I saw was our third, our Waterfront Athena 3 winner out in San Diego was a team of FC2s, second class petty officers. And this is the first time that we had, you know, our enlisted sailors start presenting at events. Even though we had a bunch of people come to our second event from different commands and from the crew and from different entities, we didn't have anybody present until the third event. And the three FC2s won the third event with an idea called ODIN, which is an optical database and information network. They wanted to stitch together all the optical sensor feeds from a ship so that if there was a contact out there, a surface contact that was far away, an algorithm would run based off of where the masts were located and the heat signatures were and the size of the ship and the range, kind of tell you what that ship might be and give the operator a chance to select among a couple options that the computer would spit out. And so that got some legs with ONR Tech Solutions and is now kind of working its way through that pipeline. So we're pretty excited about that. But when the FC2s presented that, usually you have the 5 minutes of question and answer. So we opened up the floor to them, and instead of question and answer, it was a bunch of PhDs that were there that said, this is an awesome idea. Let's work together right now. We took a little networking break after that presentation, and these three second classes were swarmed with all these brilliant minds, and you were seeing innovation happen real time. And it was incredibly inspiring. And that's sort of the inspiration loop that's been critical to our whole process. Is, you know, you hopefully inspire somebody who might not think that their idea would be great. And it is great, and you help them build on it, and you yes and the idea. And then they get to a point where they're comfortable presenting it. They get up there, they build their creative confidence by presenting the idea, and then you watch just the innovation happen, and it inspires you on the back end. So and then you want to do more inspiring because of that. So it's a whole loop that's been really critical to our process. And in terms of great ideas that have come out, six of the ideas out of our last two, or Athena 6 and Athena 7, our San Diego events, six of those ideas got picked up, whether by Commander Naval Surface Forces for prototyping, and that's a redesigned needle gun, Rust Buster, and an air squeegee for drying a tactical towed array sonar instead of doing it manually and potentially risking injury. Those got picked up by Surfor for prototyping, and they've already done 3D modeling and all that kind of stuff to get these prototypes out there. And then four of our other ideas, including the winner of Athena 6, which is it was called the Effing Awesome 7000. But what it did was it
that is that wins that yeah. That wins all
and
the
it
things.
It won based off the name. But those guys rolled up to the event with a prototype that they had put together, welded together with a trash can and some sheet metal from the HTs. It was basically an adapter to connect a box fan on board a ship used for desmoking to an elephant trunk, which is a big tube to get the smoke off the ship and into the air. Didn't have an adapter to connect it, but can increase desmoking capability by 150%. So they tested it out on the ship. It worked, and they've iterated that and built more prototypes. And that's one of the four they got picked up for prototyping via O&R Tech Solutions off of the last couple events in San Diego. So as we're kind of growing, we're seeing some really highly developed prototypes with the scant amount of time the sailors have to develop them. Our winner of our first ever Athena Afloat event, which is on a deployed warship, the USS Anchorage, recently, was a HM2 that developed a rapid use tourniquet. So it was basically something that could be 3D printed, honestly, on a ship that you kind of twist and you know, tighten this tourniquet up so that it's kind of sailor proof and anybody could use it. And he drafted up an amazing sketch and prototype and all that kind of stuff. And we're working with that right now at Johns Hopkins APL to see how we can tweak it to see if we can 3D print that out to get that to make it accessible and easy for people to use.
Perfect. You know, something was scratching at the back of my head when I heard you talk about Odin, and it reminded me that of Ghost Fleet. But I was looking it up while you were talking, and in Ghost Fleet, the new operating quote unquote operating system for the ship is Otis E, and that's why I was like, wait. Did Singer steal the name of this computer from? But no, it's two totally different names. But no, that's incredible, and I think that really does serve as an example to everyone. And I mean, those are some pretty awesome ideas, and I hope that's the kind of quality that we see here at Athena East in Norfolk. So. Speaking of the Athena East in Norfolk, you know, this project is expanding. You, as you mentioned, I believe, are at Johns Hopkins University with the APL laboratory, or is that redundant? Is that like saying ATM machine?
Yeah, that is exactly what that is like. But it's all right. I mean, you know.
So actually, maybe talk a little bit about what you're doing with them and kind of how you're trying to push forward the Athena idea to new commands and new places so that people can kind of use this model on their own.
Well sure. And I mean, a lot of what we do is sharing the story. And since I've been at APL, and that's only been since April, I mean, I was on active duty at the beginning of April and now, now I'm a civilian, which is quite a transition. But since I've been there, I've briefed a lot of people on what we've done with Athena so far and where we're going. And there's quite an appetite at the lab to get folks involved. I mean, you're hearing solutions and challenges that the fleet is facing, and oftentimes we can innovate in a vacuum. An engineer will think that they have the solution in mind that a sailor might need, an operator might need out there on the ship, and they'll kind of say, okay, I got it, and run back to a lab or prototyping space and just build this thing over the course of the next year. Come back to the fleet later and say, here you go, here's a black box that you wanted. And the sailor says, what is this? I don't need this. I already have a thing that does this. This isn't my concern. So there's been an appetite at APL to get involved there. But beyond that, that's a lot of what we do at the Design Thinking Core in APL is go out there and try to do some user-centered research, user-centered design, and make sure that we get the right solution to the sailor that they actually want and need. And actually listen and use tools that we've learned from our friends at the Silicon Valley firm IDEO about building that empathy with the end user and really understanding the problem. And I mean, honestly, that's why I'm out here in Japan right now doing research for an integrated air and missile defense mission planning design thinking event. So there's a fleet engagement week that I'm participating in to kind of really hear what people are saying and bring that back and synthesize those insights into some really pointed questions that will open up a brainstorming session on the back end to do some rapid prototyping and get the right solution out there.
See, there's so many opportunities. You know, you look at the Athena project and you say, oh, that's really cool. But like the sailor who says, you know, hey, I've already got something that does that. There's so many things out there in the fleet that, you know, you're surprised that people haven't heard of them. Like we had Print the Fleet for a while there. CDSA has 3D printers now. I mean, they're still operating under the auspices of a new program. You have the Fab Lab. We have a fabrication laboratory on the Norfolk Navy base. You know, I don't know how many people know about that. Hopefully more now that I've just said it here.
And we're hoping a lot of listeners out there now know, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think one of the main sort of the main purposes of the Athena project, at least for me and how I've executed it, is it seems like a great opportunity to connect a lot of people before the event even happens. For example, we had the CEO of a ship who was interested in being one of the panel members, and unfortunately it was full already, and I didn't want to sort of overload the board, but they'll still be coming. But they were kind of interested in some of the opportunities, and at the same time, I found out about the Fab Lab. And so I was able to put those two together, and he's interested in potentially having one 3D printer on a ship. So, you know, let's say 10 people come out. That is not going to be the case. Everyone listening, there will be more than 10 people awkwardly standing around a room. Trust me. But if that was the case, I can still walk away and say, you know, there's four or five people that were not connected before, and now those opportunities exist. But I'm excited. You know, granted, everyone is bailing on me. It's going to be like me, my wife, and Jim. We'll all be here. Dave, you've got something to go to.
Yeah, my Lindsay's brother's getting married. He's got it's a terrible planning skill.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's not like you didn't choose to be related to him, so I don't see why that's right. Important.
You said some really interesting things there, and so the first thing that you said was the way you've been running it. And that's exactly right. Like you picked it up and you ran with it, and that's a cool thing because Athena belongs to everybody. Anybody can do it. So you picked it up, you've iterated on it, you've tried to make it better, and that's great. And the network that we built, it shows that we're more than just a waterfront pitch event. We aim to build a network of folks, and through our mission and our vision, we've had people reach out to us, and we've connected people, and we've tried to make some really great things happen. So that's the whole concept between Athena Connect is just collecting those folks, having putting up a beacon to where people can reach out and keeping them involved in the process. The thing that I think I like most about kind of what we're about is that even if, like you said, only 10 people show up and maybe the ideas aren't great, those people still pitched ideas. And even if they don't go anywhere, they built their creative confidence, and they're going to take that back to the ship or the command or the squadron, and then hopefully be kind of make positive impacts wherever they can, because they now have built up confidence. They've thought outside the box. They've connected with people, and in that we're making a cadre of creatively confident folks to lead the future of the fleet, which I think is kind of really a lot more of what we're about than any particular black box that might solve world hunger, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to riff off of your riff of my idea, I guess that's a miniature version of the innovation process right here, sort of thinking about it, I appreciate the little shout-out to me there, but is that the more you do this, the more you have the opportunity to sort of be that annex. You know, so I'm VP of events for SNA here in Hampton Roads. I'm president of SimSec. I'm, you know, a really loyal member of USNI. All of a sudden, you know, want to talk about joint operations. Well, there's your COCOM, right? You're wearing three different hats, and you say, you know, maybe these three organizations wouldn't have approached each other at some point. Say, hey, you know what? I'm part of all three of these organizations. Why don't I just get all of them to come together and do something, you know, really cool? And that's a way to put a feather in all of their cap and make them part of the process, as well as sort of use your time wisely and do some good work on making the fleet a lot better. So that's kind of one of the interesting parts of this process of building Athena East, is sort of taking a step back and realizing, like, oh, wait, I have multiple organizations here with their resources that are all excited to kind of become part of this process. And they're all raring and willing. They just need somebody who's got a finger in each pie. And, you know, sometimes you might find out that you're that guy.
Right. It's classic dot connection, man. It's a skill. It's an ability that maybe we don't flex enough. And it's a keen.
You said it's a keen what? You disappeared.
Sorry. Yeah, I just noticed that. I noticed that I broke up with you there too. I'm trying to look at my little green check mark, and it's not helping me out there. I said it's a keen ability to be able to cross pollinate those different communities And dot connecting is hard, and it can really improve a lot of things in unexpected ways.
Absolutely. So we are coming right here to the end, since you are over there in Japan. It's like morning time for you now.
Yeah, it is. About to get cooking. one thing though, Matt, before you close up, we might have.
Well, we're not closing. I was about to give you the floor.
You sound like you were closing.
Well, wait. You know, I was gonna say, hey, we're coming to the end. You know, it's not the end yet. It's not. It's not the end of the beginning. It's not the or whatever. I'm not gonna butcher the Churchill quote. But I was gonna say, is there anything you would like to plug or close with? And here, now, there, you have been handed the floor properly now.
Yes. And taking the floor. So. I wanted to kind of highlight one of the things, one of the iterations that you guys have made out there that I think is really powerful to some of the core directions that we went ahead in the future with Athena, and that's personal development. You've added in a couple prizes, which we haven't done in the past. We've shied away from monetary prizes because you know there's a lot of studies that have been done that say that you know monetary incentives kind of have the reverse effect if you are taking into account you know kind of cognitive tasks. And but what you've done that we did out in San Diego as well was offer up things like a membership to Makerspace out in Norfolk. And we did that out with a place in San Diego called Maker Place, offering up a little prize there, or the Push Comedy Theater. I think that those are great things that are that people don't think of as ways to personally develop yourself, but though you know taking an idea to the next level on your own in a makerspace or developing some improv skills that will serve you well in innovation, you know, approaching problems with kind of a yes and mindset rather than a no but mindset, which is kind of tough for us in the Navy sometimes. And I think that that's a big thing, a big direction that we want to head in impacting positively the incentives programs for sailors who and really any kind of service members that might come up with some great ideas, figuring out ways to get people to some kind of an educational opportunity that will personally develop them. And then they'll be able to bring that back to the fleet, you know, and do some good. The other way that we're trying to look to do some disruption is we want to do some disruption within the acquisitions community, and that's hard, right? So we want to figure out ways to get solutions to the fleet faster, whether that's with partnering with commercial industry out there and getting something made and then opening up a pipeline to get it back into the fleet quicker, or just figuring out a way to find to navigate through the bureaucracy and get things made faster. That's a big push for us there at Athena. So I guess if we had three big focus areas, one would be personally developing, participants through an incentives program that makes sense. Two would be disrupting, the acquisitions, process to try to get solutions to the fleet faster. And three is, building that creative, confidence within our sailors.
Guess. Yeah, you disappeared again. But you're saying sailor, and then you dropped.
Oh, man. So what were they saying? Building a sailor, and this is going to be a tough for you to edit, I think.
No, it'll be fine. I'll pop through it, and most of it I'll probably leave in. You know, it's for flavor. But anyways, go ahead, continue.
No, I was talking about the third big tenet being to develop that creative confidence. What we talked about earlier, making somebody people who aren't used to being listened to, whether that's a JO, whether it's a junior sailor, whether it's an operator, whether it's a government civilian, they're not used to being heard, and making them believe their idea is good enough to be heard and building their creative confidence, that pays dividends on the back end of building the fleet of tomorrow and the leaders of tomorrow within our Navy.
You know, it's interesting you mention that. So when I've kind of gone out to stump on some of the ships and at these commands, I'm so used to my PC, and everybody's got something to say all the time. You can't really be a wallflower when you're on a crew of only 28 people, and you know you got your CS1 standing OD. You know everybody's kind of up all the time, and you know talking to some of these people, and they're like, oh hey, can I submit an idea? And I'm like, holy crap, of course, why not? And I'm sort of being reintroduced to that sort of timidity that's unfortunate. I mean, I understand why it's there. You know, some folks They don't know if they're doing the right thing. Maybe they're new. They're trying not to step on anybody's toes. But there's a way to do this without being a total butthole. You know, there's putting yourself out there, and there's being earnest, and that's what people like to see. And then there's something else. And none of these people are trying to be that something else. You know, they just want to be good sailors. They want to do good. You know, the timidity, I think, is definitely something that potentially we can try to break down a little bit, so these folks can come out of their shell. And you know, they're a source of you know, forceful backup. So the guy who goes and does a presentation on innovation and has a bunch of cool ideas, maybe he's standing bridge watch, and all that confidence, you know, maybe none of those ideas will ever be implemented or work, but maybe that'll give him the confidence to raise his hand and say, hey, I think we're about to hit a rock. So even if it doesn't come up with a cool piece of technology, at the very least, you know, good things come out of this process.
Yeah, and that's a core watch standing tenet there put out by Surfor, right? Forceful backup.
Bingo. And so there we are. We are just easing over our 30-minute mark, and I want to thank you, Dave, for coming. And again, I want to advertise to everyone, we are having the Athena East Innovation Competition. If you just search that on Facebook, you'll see our event. We've got an article out on SimSec. You should see it on USNI blog come Saturday. And there is the Eventbrite registration page. It probably won't be a stickler when people show up, but it's nice to see folks signing up and see some of the information. But it's going to be on October 2nd from 1600 to 1800. That is from 4 to 6 o'clock for people that don't use the imminently sensible 24-hour clock. What that means, we hope, is that if you are on a ship that is late enough that people will not complain that you are leaving on a Friday, but early enough that maybe you can shave 20 or 30 minutes off of that workday, you know, as a little added bonus for going out to our event. So if you have ideas, send them to us. That is athenanavy@gmail.com. So Dave and a few others run that web address. And so if you send your ideas, like a nice write-up, we are using PowerPoint for this one, if only for pictures. You know, you're allowed to show schematics, or if you have an object that you want to show in 3D or that you've built but couldn't bring in, you know, whatever the case is, maybe a tactical concept, you know, some X's and O's with arrows flying all around. I'm not going to ask you to go all Top Gun on us and show us with your hands where all the units are going. You know, we're open to all of that. We're looking for folks to be creative. We're really excited to hear your ideas. And by Monday after next, we're hoping to have told everyone who is going to present who they are, so that they can be ready for Friday, October 2nd. So I hope to see you all at Work Release, except for Dave, who is bailing on
us. Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. I wish I could be there. It's gonna be a great event. I'm looking forward to hearing all about it and posting some.
Oh, perfect. You manage to drop at the very end. Well, on behalf of Dave,
Oh, there you go.
Hey, welcome back.
I'm back. We stay pretty close, closely involved in social media. So reach out to us on Facebook. We like likes. On Twitter, we're at Athena Navy. And then, obviously, like you said, the email, athenanavy@gmail.com. We can get anybody connected anywhere if you want.
Awesome. All right, folks. We will see you next week.